Am I on here? Yeah, now I am. It's good to see everyone this evening. We kind of kicked this little series off last week, building our spiritual muscles. The little illustration of muscle milk. I remembered my prop this week. Well, that's not a very big can. I asked Janet to go get me a bigger one today, and she said, the next biggest one's $70. Are you sure you want to spend that for it? I said, sure, Sam's got money. But she said, no, we better not. He's my boss. Right, Sam? Yeah, okay. The idea was this. I wanted to build some muscles. I'm tired of being pushed around, tired of being teased, kicked at. I start looking at these labels on the grocery store shelves, and there's all sorts of labels. Say, get strong, build up. You've seen all the ads on TV and everything like that, but I see something called muscle milk. Well, that sounds pretty promising. I check the ingredients on the back. I've read up now on whether to do soy or whey or mix a little bit of the both proteins. Check the protein content on this and the ins and outs. And definitely the flavor. It's got to have real cocoa in it. None of this artificial chocolate stuff. Real cocoa, because that's my brain food. Doesn't do much good anyway, but what I can get of it, we need that. Okay, and I'm going to drink. One of these days I'm going to get that 70 can because this is going to run out pretty quick. I'm going to drink this a couple times a day. And I'm just going to go, I got to go to work in the morning, get home in the afternoon, drink a couple of glasses of it, sit down, watch TV, and go to bed. What's so funny? Well, it says muscle milk. Right? So all I got to do is just chug this down and build those muscles, right? Todd?
You got to do more.
No. More. What?
No pain, no gain.
No. Oh. You mean I got to put some effort into this stuff? Well, I don't know. Now we got to start weighing the pros and cons on this. Wow. I mean, I got to practice. It's kind of like that with our spiritual muscles, isn't it? Matter of fact, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures thinking that in them you have eternal life, but it's me they're pointing to. Old James says, you show me your works without your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Old James isn't saying we got to do works to be saved, but he's saying if we got real faith, there's going to be some signs to go along with that. There's going to be some results from that, aren't there? And not only that, we get into it a little bit and start a little bit of it. Sometimes we stick our neck out just a little bit. And we start developing a few habits and we find out that, well, is 5 pounds going to do it? A couple of push-ups with lift-ups with curls with 5 pounds a day? That's not too hard. No? Not much. Huh? I can barely lift my razor in the morning. All right, 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds a day. Bench presses, curls, push-ups, sweat, hurt. Those muscles get sore, don't they? If you're really working to build up, you got to tear them down some. Give them a chance to rebuild. Come back. Got to do it again if you're lifting a little bit more each time pretty soon. Same with our faith. We read about faith. We can read ourselves blue about faith. And we do. And we study. And we have good intentions. good plans. But then, like old Peter, all of a sudden a threat comes unexpectedly. And I don't know him. He goes off and weeps bitterly. Well, Peter's been with Jesus for 3 years now, seeing the miracles, seeing all this stuff. If old Peter's still struggling with this after 3 years with the Christ, where are we? Thank goodness Jesus said, he also prayed for us who believed on his word through their teaching. So, with those thoughts in mind, we need to build our spiritual muscles. And the only way I know to do this, first of all, we got to learn. We got to learn the word, learn the rules. But we got to be sticking our neck out just a little bit too, don't we, Ken? Boy, you've had some good lessons on that recently. Good enough, I think I'll just quit here and let you step up here and finish this series. Got to exercise. There's some things I'm doing now I wouldn't have dreamed doing 20, 30 years ago. Too much work, too scary, and besides, I don't have the ability. I still don't have the ability. But somehow I found out if I just shut up and let God take over, sometimes I find things coming out of my mouth that I didn't even expect to, like I hear myself listening to myself sometimes, but that's after much study and work. And you still got to keep on studying and working, but you find out something else too, don't you, Tyrone? You find out while you're studying and working to talk to other people about the faith. You find out that you're pushing yourself more and more and more. There are dual benefits, but not only that, you find out that you're developing relationship with God. And say, wow, what just happened tonight? What just happened with that person? That's better than all the gold and all the jewels, everything I did in all the world. God, I want more of this. Old Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. Jesus says, I have to wash your feet or you have nothing to do with me. Peter says, oh, well, I want my hands and my head washed as well. Well, Jesus told him not to get too carried away, but his point had been made clear. We've got to get more wrapped up in Jesus, more involved with him, if we want to be more part of him, if we want to develop the spiritual muscles, the spiritual strength, the ability, the will, the assistance, the relationship with God and the Holy Spirit that will enable our spirits to overcome our fleshly weaknesses. Our fleshly weaknesses that say they don't want to do something maybe God would like to us to do or given us an opportunity to do. Opportunity. Cleo, how come you didn't show up for the first lesson you talked me into doing last week? Yeah. You know, I had no all over my mouth, all shaped up and ready to say when something shut my mouth when you asked me if I'd do it, teach a lesson. And it's only because I'd gotten a little bit of practice with it already and stuck my head out, neck out a little bit. And I think I've heard, somebody told me just the other day, it was Nathan on Sunday. It was Nathan on Sunday, but he said it better. But what Tyrone's learned, what Ken's learned, about what every one of us has learned in various environments and circumstances, and that is, I'm not great at this, but with God's help, I can do it. And not only that, with God's help, I find out that I build a better relationship and there's something spiritual in me that I've crudely referred to as the metaphor of muscles that has gotten built up to where I can do more and I'm willing to take just a little bit more chance, a little, stick my neck out a little bit more. Old Nathan's way ahead of me on this. Old Ken and Tyrone are way ahead of me on this. But I look at them and I look at other people. I look at Sam Bradley's out there and said, Sam, tell me if I hadn't said this to you in the past, Sam, I want to be a little bit more like you. I want to be a little bit more like you, Sam. And wow. I see myself doing things, being with other people. I said, that wasn't me 10 or 15 years ago. Folks, with God's help, we can change. We can get out there and be involved in more. Now, 20s and 30s, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more later on. But if that means you've got your hands more than full with one of the greatest and noblest undertakings God ever gave to mankind, and that was raising children. We're going to be talking about maybe this work or that work or another work, but don't you ever feel for 1 minute your number one job of raising children, raising those precious children that are our future, the Lord's future, our children's future, as long as He doesn't come back yet. Raise those kids, and you are following all the way, Caleb, all the way, all the way. You're just being prepared now, because while you're working so hard now, God's preparing you for something else in the future. You may not even know what it is now, will be. I don't know what mine was. I didn't know. But God's working on us all the time. If we're following Him, you know, God says said to the Jews, if you seek me, you will surely find me. He says that throughout the Bible. And then in Hebrews, He says, we must believe that He rewards those who truly, eagerly seek Him. Wow. I want some of that, Lord. I want some of that. Well, I said this is going to be a discussion because this is too big for one person. This weighs too big for one person. But what's one of the first things that gets in our way? What we're talking about, overcoming ourselves, our flesh. One thing I'm looking forward to getting into, don't have plans to get in tonight. I'm looking forward to getting into. I got a topic called, favorite topic called fighting God. Maybe I'm the only one with that trouble. Tyrone, you ever have trouble fighting God? You ever have to fight God? Fight God? Did your flesh ever fight against God? Oh, Ken, I've heard you say, no way were you ever going to become a preacher when you grew up.
Stay true to that,
didn't you? Amen. No. Sorry to disappoint. You're not going to get off that easy. Nathan, you ever fight God? What's in us? Todd? You're old, turning like you. You got it all figured out, right? Lawyer. Still catch yourself fighting God? I do. You're looking at the number one laziest person that God ever had the sense of humor to put in this world. Because I was number one lazy. My folks were loving. My dad tried to get me, but he didn't kick me in the butt quite hard enough to get out there before he finally gave up and started giving himself. But somewhere along the line, I got the message. It was disgusting. It was disgusting. I didn't want to be like that anymore. I'm still like that. Put me in a room with a group of people. If I had my druthers, I'd rather be over there in the corner reading a book, playing with my toys, my grown-up's toys. Anybody else in here? Mike? Yeah. thank Jesus. He said, deal with each day at a time, because every one of those days got enough trouble of its own, didn't he? Steve, how about you? You got a lot of stuff going on out there, flying back and forth 15, 20 times a day, up and down, dealing with people, dealing with things, dealing with center of gravity and weights and balances.
Thank every God it works.
Bogan, you're probably one of our seniors here, but you face some of the toughest skies that man has ever flown in World War II. B-24s over Germany, World War II. People, did you know that? They had worse than a 50% attrition rate at some time, didn't you? Man. I bet you learned pretty quick, though. Wow. How do we build the spiritual muscles? You built a lot of spiritual muscles. You had tough training, though, didn't you? You had tough training. Who are the other guys in the military in here? Here's Steve's one. Good, good. You trained hard, didn't you? You were worked harder in your training than you probably would have ever made yourself get out there and do without that training. Am I correct? Now, there are some exceptions in which we have some tremendously dedicated bodybuilders, tremendously dedicated intelligence seekers, wisdom seekers. That's great. I have a hard time doing that. I'm trying to get better, Lord, help me, but I'm trying to get better, but I'm still lazy. How do we do that? How do we develop our spirits with some spiritual muscles that will overcome our body, our weak flesh muscles, and get our rear ends off the can and start doing it, Steve?
Well, I always take encouragement from Moses, who, in his discussion with God, tried to come up with every excuse he could think of as to why not to do something that God wanted him to do.
And then
he went and did it anyway.
And
so just, you know, I learned from that. No matter what kind of excuse I try to come up with for not doing something, it's just an excuse. And God is going to, if God wants me to do something, I just need to go ahead and do it. You know, Jonah had the same problem. He didn't want to do what, you know, God wanted him to do. He finally figured it out.
Boy, I take a lot of lessons from both those guys. We worked on Moses a little bit last week. We worked on him a little bit. And then after he'd run out of excuses, he said something else. What'd he say? Oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then what? God's anger burned. Thank God he stayed patient just a little bit longer, because God's anger burned. Then he says, hey, you got a brother named Aaron. He can be your mouthpiece. Wow. Thank God we got a merciful and patient God for the most part. Slow to anger, but boy, we can make him angry, can't we? The Bible shows us that. The Bible shows us that. Who else? Here's a couple that, well, I ran from God. I ran from God one time, 30 years ago. I truly, honestly, had a otherwise unexplained vision of myself working in an inner city neighborhood with troubled youth in an inner city neighborhood. Nothing could have been further or different from me at the time. I ran from that because I had another job going on, another job opportunity, and I ran, but I never forgot for one day that I was running from God, especially the next time I read Jonah and had Dan Gray all written all over it, but God had me in some training, just going through some things then and since, and I look back on it, I never went looking for that job. It just happened. It evolved over time. And one day somebody asked me, hey, Dan, you come down and work and, you know, talk to these kids. I don't want to do that or not. I got cold feet. I said to Janet, he said, I don't think I want to do this. What did Janet say? What did you say? You remember what you said to me? You know, that is one of the first times in our 39 plus, almost 40 years of marriage that Janet has said anything to me other than, whatever you want to do, go ahead and try it. She said something made her say, get out there and try it. And the first evening I spent with those kids, I loved them. The next evening I loved them more, and I'm still loving them more all the time. But that's another subject. That's another topic. But, oh, well, I just say this much about it. We have the wrong impression. Because any time and every time, I wish John Cheatham were here this evening because he's passionate about it too. Praise the Lord for bringing him here. Such an encouragement to me in this. But there are others I'm chasing down. If anybody's inclined to something like that, speak up. Because out of any 10 kids of these 10 come from occasionally 12, but usually 15, 14, 15 and 16-year-olds, some of these kids are in there for armed robbery. That much, just a fraction of an inch, the movement of that trigger from killing somebody. And he's spreading my hand with his tears, sobbing, I can't get it right. I keep trying and I just can't get it right. And then he tells me, I ask him, what do you want to pray for tonight? Well, I want to get it right. Please bless, pray for my dad in prison and my mother who's on drugs. Gosh, and I'm judging this kid? He's a better man than I am. He's a better man than I am. Many a tear has been shed by the workers with these kids. We can't imagine the negative circumstances they're in and the negative influences that they have all around them with teeth and with muscles and with knives and guns. We can't. Imagine. Who else? Fighting God. Examples. Watch our time here because I don't want to get, whoa. One or two. Job. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yes, sir. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Wow. Brother Hyde, thank you. Thank you. That was powerful. Elijah. Oh, Elijah was just about worn out and discouraged, wasn't he? Oh, yeah. Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. I don't want to do this anymore, but I can't not. The Lord has put his spirit so much in Jeremiah. Wow. It goes on and on. Oh, Peter, at times. How about the fighter of fighters? Saul of Tarsus. Wow. Is it A.S.? Nicodemus. Get the idea across. Oh, yeah, neat. I think it's S-A-R-I-H. Oh, yeah. Old Ken had a punch list of these guys and others with character flaws. Anybody in here doesn't have a character flaw? I know I got a lot of them. Whoa, man. We could go on and on, but there's a lesson in this, folks. Struggle with that. That was going to put Mary away quietly, wasn't he? Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Why? Why is this such a problem? We must be incredibly weak individuals. Incredibly weak individuals. But they were too. They all had character flaws. Right. So I don't have to try. Ephesians 6, start about verse 10. Who wants to read? I think I could find this by now. Big booming voice. Need a big booming voice. Cairo, would you read for us, please? Starting at verse 10, and we'll go down. Through about 13.
I'm reading New International.
Yeah, good. Oh.
Go back a couple of verses.
Read verse 12 again.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms.
Wow. That's some serious stuff. Well, oh, there we go. Let that soak in a little bit. I still have this tendency to believe that my enemies are flesh and blood. The guys that are trying to get my job at work. The guys that are trying to get me done in. The guy that tried to run me off the highway the other day. Maybe the guy that held us up at gunpoint, threatened us with a knife, stole our car, broke into our car. All of these. But those are the manifestations. Those are the manifestations of evil. Spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Wow. We're talking about our little problems here. Evil. Check it out on the news. The killings, the rapes, the child molestations, the Holocaust, brutal combat. Boy, they're getting more and more vivid on the TV and the movie screens all the time. But it makes me realize more and more. It ain't pretty. It's ugly. Anybody see the Passion of the Christ here? Wow. I couldn't watch, and I couldn't not watch. All I could do was hang my head in shame that my Lord was hung on a cross, crucified, nailed to a cross, after being beaten half to death with a scourge, flesh ripped off his back. Mocked. You know, that's ugly stuff. It's sickening. We can't hardly face it. God can't hardly face it. We can't face it. We can't think of it. We sanitize this stuff too much in our minds. But sometimes I feel like we've just got to consider it to realize the ugliness. The ugliness of our sin and what our Lord did for us. So flesh and blood is not flesh and blood. We can take care of flesh and blood with muscles, can't we? If we're big enough and strong enough. But the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, wow, we're not going to stand up to that without God's help, are we? That takes real spiritual muscles, but it takes our relationship with God and a developed and worked on relationship with God. We got about 10 minutes left. I wanted to explore some of these things a little bit more. I got a little kind of a tentative agenda or overview of this series. I'm going to be teaching most of the time, but Tyrone's going to teach us on the April the 18th, and I may be gone then. If I'm not, I'd ask Tyrone if he'd just go ahead and do it anyway. I said, Tyrone, you've been a teacher before. You're a teacher. I said, give me some ideas here. Old Sam, Nathan, I'm sorry. Sam, forgive me. I gave your spot away to Nathan because he blew me away with his lesson last Sunday on how to keep fear from scaring you to death. And he's probably going to have some better and better. But I said, Nathan, I'm not going to be here the middle of May. Would you be willing to bring that? Because, Nathan, I don't think you've taught that to our 20s and 30s group, have you? Maybe you're planning on it. I don't know. Or maybe you're waiting for somebody to ask you to. I don't know. But anyway, the adults who are hearing you on Sunday morning are hearing something that is very complimentary and reinforcing of this stuff we're doing on Wednesday evenings. But a lot of us are missing it because we're not in Nathan's class on Sunday morning. So I asked Nathan if he'd just kind of teach his whole course there on or about May 18th. It's May 18th. May 16th, I'm sorry, May 16th. Right smack in the middle of May. And then a few topics that this evening's was, do we underestimate our adversary? And I think when we start to think about it, I think it's probably part of our nature to say, to want to think it's not as bad as it might be, not as bad as it really is. But when, in fact, if we really want to be, develop what I think Jesus wants to become and wants to enable us to become, we need his help, and we need to work on the spiritual muscles that he helps us build. Another topic is, because he first loved us while we were still sinners, Jesus cried at the cross, died at the cross for us. I want to bring this so vividly to our mind that we can't help but love Jesus, and to love Jesus is to want to serve him. Love Jesus is to give us the spiritual muscles that overcomes our own fleshly what? Reticence, reluctance, laziness, fears, self-doubts, and see how he can use us. Because if Jesus, you know, if Jesus can use all these people for all their weaknesses and faults, he can build us, all of us, into anything he wants to. Wow. And not only that, when we get there, it's not onerous and it's not burdensome. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's something that we dread thinking about before we do it. But once we get into it, somehow he seems to help us along, take little baby steps. And it turns out to be the greatest blessing we can find in life. He blesses us in so many ways with our families, all our work today. He never overloads us up. If we're getting overloaded serving him, overloaded, we're not doing our own job. We're listening to the wrong voices. Because that's what Satan wants us to do. That's what Satan wants us to do. Jesus will not overload us beyond what we can carry, beyond what we can be effective at. I guess I can say I found that out because I had a lot of fears it was going to be, but he takes care of every bit of it, including that somehow he makes it work out. Nathan, does he make it work out? You got a lot more stuff going on than I do. Steve, does he make it work out? Sometimes you don't see how he's going to do it, though, do you? Ken? Wow. Brother Hyde? We'll talk a little bit about, we covered fighting God pretty well already tonight, but we'll touch on that because it's just an ongoing thing that we're having to fight with ourselves, our fleshly fights and resistances that we're having to overcome. What did Jesus say to Paul? It's recorded in Acts 26. That Paul or Luke records in Acts 26 that we don't see, I haven't seen it in the other accounts of Paul's conversion. You remember what he said? It is hard to kick against the goads. Do I gather from that maybe Paul was starting to sense that he was kicking against the goads? What did Gamaliel say? What had Gamaliel said? Hadn't he? Wow. Be careful when you start listening to God, because all kinds of unexpected things can happen, but it just gets better and better all the time. He'll never cause anything. If it's God and God is God, and if you're in doubt, check the spirits, John says. Spend a lot of time praying and studying your Bibles about it. It's the right thing to do. But he'll never overload us or cause us to take one responsibility on that'll cause us to drop another one. Somehow he helps us to cover all those. He helps our families understand. Somehow he makes up for it. I can just testify for that myself. Lazy old me, I can testify that. Sharing the fellowship of his sufferings. Wow, that's one that I'm scared to deal with here, but we're going to have to talk about it. Sharing the fellowship of his sufferings, because after old Nathan talked last weekend, I knew God was going to take care of us all the time. All the time. You know, but sometimes we got the wrong idea of what taking care of us means. Well, he's going to keep me from getting hurt. He's going to keep me from getting killed. He's going to keep me from this physical harm, bodily harm, something like that. Sometimes that's not in his plans. But then he still provides. Old Paul said what? What did Paul say? To live is Christ, to die is... Ooh, wow. I'm still having a hard time getting used to that idea. I'm working on it. Maybe he can help us with some of our work in this course. Okay, I hear bells ringing. I had a whole session here built up on talking to the 20s and 30s, bring up a child. And that's your big ministry right now while God's preparing you for other things. I guess we took care of that in 5 minutes, huh? So maybe we got some room for something else if somebody wants to recommend some good, juicy, meaty topics here. Really want to get into the meat stuff because first thing, old Tyrone, I told him about Tyrone, the idea I had, and he was quick to remind me. By the way, I was saying our muscle milk is this. I want to tell but old Tyrone as quickly as say, well, we need to mark out milk on here. It's muscle what? Meat, the real meat. But anyway, the metaphor still works, and we'll have some fun with it. Thank you so much. Any questions, testimonials, any confessions? Thank you. Ken, Tyrone, I asked you, Ken, last week. Will you dismiss us with a prayer?